Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy. On this beautiful last day of May, we're going to talk about house concerts, where folk or classical musicians gather in a private space, like a home or a backyard or a basement, and play their music for an audience that has usually shared some food and is maybe enjoying a glass of wine or a beer while listening to the music. It's relaxed, it's personal, it's intimate. So how does it work? What's in it for the musicians? Why do hosts decide to fling open their front door and let the world in? What are the economics of it? How do house concerts fit into the music ecosystem of a community? So here today with us to share experiences and expertise, and we hope a little music, I'd like to welcome our guests in the studio. First, I'm going to say hello, Ingvo van Gutu.
Hello, Kathleen.
Who raced in seconds ago and tuned her guitar and is ready to go.
Almost tuned.
And she's the director of the Spinard Jazz Fest, and some of the house concerts that are happening right around now and last week are affiliated with the Spinard Jazz Fest. And with her is Alena Lukina.
Yeah.
A fabulous violinist and I guess pianist. I've heard you play the piano and I don't know what else. And Alena is from Siberia and has a couple of CDs out. And I feel like you guys have discovered each other and play frequently together.
Yeah, not frequently enough, but yeah,
we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also we have Tim Nixon, who is the other side of this house concert equation.
The dark side.
He's the host. Tim Nixon, a local community member, been doing them for 5 years here in Anchorage. So welcome, Tim.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We'll want to hear from you lots of the details of how you do it.
Sure.
So I do think we're going to hear from a couple folks on the phone who, I put out the promo and I heard from Anchorage Festival of Music, which said, we've been doing this for 20 years.
Great.
And so I expect them to call in and tell us a little bit how they make it work for them. And also I talked with Jay Shin, who's been doing them. He's a new, as opposed to Tim, who's done them for a bunch of years. Tim is a little bit new to it, does it a little bit differently than some folks. So we should hear from them. And then I also want to say I talked to lots of musicians and other hosts, and we may hear from a number of people. So we'll get around and talk about it all. I do want to say if you have been in the audience of a house concert and you want to talk a little bit about it, we'd love to hear from you. And we also have some stuff on the website that if you're interested in getting into this or you want some tips, there's stuff out there on the web. One of the good things I found was Marianne Call. I'd been put onto Marianne really from Ingvall, who said, that's the queen of house concerts. You've got to get Ingvall. Well, Ingvall got married 2 days ago or so and couldn't be with us, but she said to say hello to everybody. And I have a link to her how to put on a house concert, and she's thought of a lot of the details. So that's a resource that's there. And there's a couple of other things. So that you can find at alaskapublic.org at Hometown Alaska. And let me throw out our numbers, and then we'll start talking. If you're in Anchorage and you want to join in on our conversation, it is 550-8433. Statewide, it's 1-888-353-5752. Or we can take an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So just to start off, I'm going to go to Ingvall. And I just want to talk a little bit about the history.
Yeah.
One thing, when I was talking to a local promoter who said, well, you know, these go way back to the 30s and the 20s in... Hello.
Hello.
To the 30s and the 20s in Harlem, rent parties were musicians who had to pay the rent and sometimes were forced to live in tight, accommodations and expensive. They would have a party to pay for their rent. But Ingvall, when I talked with you, you talked about house concerts back in your hometown.
Yeah, and that was why I was distracted a second ago. I just remember that my mother texted me this morning about, because I asked her a question, and I'm just going to go and get my phone while I'm talking, because she has it. I'm going to translate the Norwegian message. So here we go.
So Ingvall is dashing over to her phone.
Dashing back for my phone because, whoops, there we go. The busy house concert host is sort of slightly flustered, but now I'm calm and prepared.
Okay.
So what I know is that house concerts, well, I think actually house concerts go back to when we had houses. They probably had cave concerts in the Stone Age, right?
Maybe so.
So what... what I know that house concert, there was a little, you know, house music. If you look at classical greats like Mozart and Handel and, you know, Schubert, and they had house concerts all the time.
Okay,
you know?
So we're anybody going back hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years. And because people had houses, and rich people in particular could host, you know, some famous derelict composer come through their you know, land or their, you know,
their
I know
town.
For a fact that, you know, because they had, there was patronage back then. And in fact, we're going back to that now. Tim Nixon is a sort of low-level Esterhazy, you know, in a way, because he's opening his estate in Valley of the Moon to...
I don't know the reference. I'll just take it as a compliment.
Yeah, no, he was a count, and I have to be very careful to pronounce that word, that took care of Mozart and Haydn, actually, in particular. Uh-huh. You know, so in the sort of 1700s, people had... the composers had rich landowners and rich, you know, to take care of them. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had any of that music, because they would have had to, you know, push the cart or something.
Right.
So I think that the domestic concert idea was there before people started building concert halls. So the concert hall idea came, so we're in a way going back to the house concert idea. It's just that maybe the house concert we know about from 200 years ago were much bigger houses mm-hmm. than even some of the Alaskans have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's that. But then I was going to talk about my kind of background with house concert. I know that my grandfather in the war, in the Second World War, started something, and that's what my mother was talking about. She said that you weren't allowed in the Second World War in Norway. Norway was occupied by the Nazis.
Which is
so
where
you
you're from. Yeah,
yeah mm-hmm. which is where I'm from. And my mother's father, she wrote to me this morning. She said that they started the house concert in 1941. There was a choir and an orchestra, and they had to call it the private music organization or something. And so they basically they were allowed to do it if they were not public, but in private. Arranged.
Only invite your friends.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. as long as there wasn't a public gathering, then it could go under the radar of the Nazis.
Hmm.
So no comparison to anything else that's going on right now. But so we have basically this tradition then from 1941, 1943, that they could have concerts with 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, 100 people, as long as they called it a house concert.
Was it aimed at funding the musician, or was it just aimed at, let's get together and listen
to
music?
It was aimed at being not desperate to play, because you couldn't have, by then we had concert hall. We'd had maybe had concert hall for 150 years, but they were all closed down. Because of the war.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way you could keep the music going, to make music accessible that wasn't, you know, some kind of duh, is on a radio or something, was to have to gather, you know, so professional orchestra, the symphony orchestra, everyone, they would play in people's houses instead for 5 years during the occupation.
Was food a part of it, or was it just the music? Was it pure?
Well, there was rationing going on, and there was hardly any food, so I'd imagine that there would be, you know, meager food. I know that my father's family had, you know, eggs and meat delivered from the farm now and again from their relatives, so they could eat okay. But people were starving, you know,
yeah.
for five years.
So if the food was not a draw.
I don't think it was a big, like, come and eat and pig out. No, mm-hmm. I don't think
barbecue
so.
Barbecue in the backyard.
I don't think so.
Well, we've got a caller, and I'd just love to get callers on the phone. This is Mallory, and she wants to speak a little bit to house concert economics. Hi, Mallory. You're on Hometown Alaska.
Going.
Oh, sorry.
I know it's a girl's name, so that can throw you.
sorry, so, Mallory.
Anyway, I guess my question, and I guess kind of my comment on it, is I guess I feel like Anchorage is a little bit, as a major city for a state, it's a little culturally impoverished. And I'm wondering how it is that a house concert that's going to be in a certain way restricted to a certain higher socioeconomic class, just by the very nature of, you know, it's a house concert, limited size, how that's going to not even more impoverish the city and deprive people of seeing good culture here, I guess.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. I did talk to some producers who said house concerts can work both ways for them. They said sometimes just to bring an artist up, they need a certain number of opportunities for the artist. And so adding a house concert could help a public concert happen. On the other side, you know, if they're happening at the same time, could there be any conflict? And this promoter just said the best thing we can do is keep talking to each other so we don't run over each other. And Ingvall, you speak for the Spinard Jazz Fest. You are having both house concerts and public events, right?
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent, it's really good that that voice came in at this point, because it was something that we also wanted to address. I mentioned, you know, I went on the grand when I mentioned that, you know, the people who funded the great composers and the rich people, but a house is a house, an apartment is an apartment. You started talking about the Harlem and the, you know, the artist in other parts and other, you know, sort of early New York history or whatever. And the way that we're doing it with Spinard Jazz Fest is that we say there is no upper or lower limit on anything, and we have fundraisers that are specifically geared towards people who can afford to give money, and then we have somebody's tiny apartment that can hold 12 people. You know, it's just whatever it is. And so what we're trying to do is to, if needed, redefine. Maybe it's redefined for people like our listeners who may be skeptical to the term or maybe have a certain perception of the term. Mm-hmm. But when I almost came to it with a different perception, because it's downscaling for me. You know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I was touring to places that would hold 1,000 people. And then the thought of them playing to 30 people is sort of like, seems less grand in a way, regardless of who they are or whatever. But it isn't. It's like a whole other, and we know we're going to talk about that later, whole other way of experiencing music.
Yeah, what's in it for the musicians
and the idea audience. That culture is only for the people who can afford it is something we really need to just look at and discuss and uproot, or not get rid of, not kill or be violent to, but we just need to air out all the fears of
that it's
opposite of abundance.
Or, that there's a
impoverishment thing.
Pie.
Yeah, no, there's a huge piece of pie, and everyone in Anchorage loves music. I know that, so every home is potentially a venue, and I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Well, Mallory, I had heard one of the promoters say Anchorage doesn't have enough commercial venues. In that sense, he felt that the town was a little bit undersized, but didn't really have a conflict with house concerts, in as long as they're sort of collaborative and cooperative, so that a promoter bringing somebody up and footing all the expenses, et cetera, doesn't suddenly lose their profit to a house concert or something like that. But I'm sad to hear that you think it's impoverished up here. I mean, I feel like there's so much grassroots music. You know, whether it's the folk festival in January, which is completely free at Wendy Williamson Auditorium, or, you know, just house concerts. I've stumbled into several just by people inviting me and was blown away. So I hope we can change your mind, Mallory, we're squeaking by without enough.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Mallory. And Tim, I want to bring you in a little bit here. You were about to say something, so let me cut you off.
No, for sure. I think it's far more complementary than competitive between house concerts and venues. There, I think with a lot of the group that comes to my shows regularly, they're either going to go to the venue or they're not. And if they come to the house concert, it's an extra opportunity for them to meet the musicians. It's a few extra dollars in the musician's pocket from someone seeing them a few times. But I don't think that most of my group would not go to a venue show to see somebody just because they saw them at a house show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually kind of how the ball really got rolling with the shows that I host, is that I'd hosted a couple of very small shows. And then mentioned to a promoter friend that if he had someone that he was bringing up that needed a couple more shows, exactly like you're saying, to make it work financially, because it costs a lot to come here and one or two shows doesn't pay the bills, even if they're big shows a lot of the time.
Right.
But if he had someone that needed an extra show or two, that let's give it a go. And that's probably the first half dozen shows were exactly that. It was just add-ons to tours that were going on.
Right. Wow. Well, that's how you fell in. And I guess you like it because you've been doing it for 5 years.
Because it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
I think you said you've done 33. 33, I think.
We had one last week, and that was the 33rd show that we've done.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus a couple of other things that weren't really quite house concerts, but had some music and people.
I know I got to go to one of yours. It was a benefit for the Lullaby Project maybe 2 years ago, and it was tied in with Spinard Jazz
with
Fest.
With the Jazz Fest, yeah.
Last year.
Mm. Yeah, was it last year? Okay.
That's when we met, actually, right?
Yeah.
So all these networks are growing.
Mm. Yeah.
Gosh, we're getting a lot of calls, but let's talk a little bit about the things that can be variable. I mean, there is not one definition of a house concert. From the little bits of research that I've done, and Ingvil, I want to thank you for this book you loaned me, No Booker, No Bouncer, No Bartender, How I Made $25,000 on a 2-month House Concert Tour. There's a lot of information in there.
Yeah.
I went to a house concert last week at a home that often hosts classical concert. It had jazz the night I was there. But that particular person has her way of putting on a house concert. I know, Tim, from being at yours, it was different. It can be everything from it's potluck, and the guests bring something to eat. It can be, I know in the case of the Spinard Jazz Fest house concerts, I think that one of your sponsors of the fest is chiming in on some of the
adult beverages.
Yes, right,
that we cannot mention.
Yes. Well, so there's a lot of different ways, from no food to I've got the grill going, bring something over that you can grill, to in your case, Tim, I think what's developed over time is all your gourmet
elaborate. Yes.
Yeah, this is your friends' chances to actually show what they can do, and they compete with each other.
Something like that, yeah.
That's great, though. We want competition in that department, you know?
Oh, food is always good, right? Well, I'm going to welcome Laura Koenig on, because Laura called me after she heard the promo last week saying, oh, house concerts, oh, don't you know the Anchorage Festival of Music has been at this for 20 years? Mm. So, Laura, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hi, thanks for having me. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Laura.
And just tell us how you guys stumbled on it as a good idea. And you said you've kind of worked out a lot of the bugs. Just tell us a little bit about it.
I've been certainly listening to the conversation here. Until 15 years ago, the Anchorage Festival of Music was a 2-week big summer festival. And it's interesting someone mentioned Anchorage being culturally impoverished, because we found about 15 years ago there was so much redundancy as far as the mission of, you know, the growth of the Anchorage Concerts Association and the symphony and the opera, that we found that we refocused our goals to doing this chamber music series primarily in private homes or small public spaces, and we were able to keep our mission alive, you know, of like, great performances and primarily promoting local artists.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have always, since the history began in 1956 at the festival, had a really strong educational component. And so we often either have oral program notes, and primarily we are doing chamber music, classical chamber music or jazz. Or we'll have an expert come in, some sort of, whether it's a historian or a biologist. And in this intimate atmosphere, this is much more effective. You know, those barriers between the audience and the performer or the expert are broken down. And we've also found that the reception is really key to making it much more social, making it much more inviting. And also, if people want to talk to the performers or the expert afterwards, they can have immediate access.
So you're saying breaking bread is kind of important?
Yeah. Well, you know, you just so it works both ways. I mean, we've grown. We actually have pretty big audiences now. For a house concert, anywhere between 60 to 80.
Wow.
And one of the problems is when people get they know where it is, we get people show up at the door. So sometimes it's a little scary. and after starting last year, we started to do the same performance twice in a row. To try to, you know, spread out the if you're going to set up a house, which, by the way, takes a huge team of volunteers, and it wouldn't be possible without the AFM board, who really, you know, kind of gets in there and moves furniture and pianos. And,
mm-hmm. Willing to get down and dirty and do the work. Yeah,
and turn these houses into concert hall, and try to make the impact on the guests as minimal, I mean, the hosts, as minimal as possible. So it's a different model. It's not a host necessarily inviting people to come into their house. We do all that. We set up a ticketing system. And then they just, you know, get to have their house turned into a concert hall.
That's a little bit like the Spinard Jazz Fest. I think when I was RSVPing to get in, I was...
We're hybrid okay. between Laura's model and Tim's model. Oh. You know, we're still in development, but it's interesting to hear the difference. I mean, it's just great,
yeah.
right? How
right.
different we can be doing it.
Right, right. And I do have a video of one of your performances, Laura, one of the Anchorage Festival of Music performances. I think it was from November. It was called Campaign, what was it
Campaign
called?
Campaign Classics, yes.
Classics, where you were singing a tune from 1939 about President Roosevelt. That
right,
was great.
Yeah.
And then you had a historian, I guess, speak to folks.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Professor Ian Hartman, yeah, from the University of Alaska, Anchorage. Yeah, we did campaign songs that spanned from George Washington until 1960, until either it became too divisive to talk about or, you know, they just sort of didn't serve their purpose anymore. But, yeah, it was a whole narrative, and he gave the historical insight along the way.
That's fun. That's very fun. Well, I'm going to ask you for any last minute tips for budding maybe other organizations in town that are thinking, gosh, maybe in addition to our public concerts, we might try something smaller, something more intimate. Can people call you if they want tips?
Oh yeah, most certainly. Yeah,
okay.
you drop me an email at anchoragefestivalsmusic@gmail.com. Or, you know, just look at the festival website, most certainly. You know, the biggest bug that we've worked out in the last couple of years is the ticketing. Because we've gone to CenterTix now because we do a full-on yearly series.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And but we don't want to make the private home's address public until you purchase your tickets and then you get the address and the directions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we've sort of got around, you know, being more inclusive at the same time keeping the privacy, you know, because you don't want, in some of the models, it is much more of you invite your friends and it's like this underground network. But here we want anybody who wants to come to the concert to be able to come to the concert.
Right, right, right. So it is a blend of public-private, you know.
It's a fine line. Yeah, and making it accessible, too, to people. That's the other thing with homes, making sure we can accommodate as many people as possible.
It's changed dramatically since we got Facebook, you know, because now people think that Facebook is a way to talk to your friends, and it's actually a way of publicizing to the entire world what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so
we, for example, having
sponsored alcohol at our events, we cannot afford to pay a license for each of those events, so we have to keep them as private events, and we want to as well. It's not that we have to. So it's up to the host what they do, but we as an organization, for example, because we're sort of umbrellaing with hosts. So there's a whole bunch of different things that people will learn. And this might sound frightening, but it's very simple to begin.
Yeah.
All you do is to get an artist and the book and Marian's guidelines. They just tell you, walk you through the steps. And
right.
it's a nice little soft ride to do to get going.
And we'll hear more from Tim on what it's like to be, maybe what the nervous moments are before the show begins.
Or Where's my artist?
Yeah. Or also, you know, from what I've read, sometimes money can, you know, the festival has handled it a certain way. You buy your tickets. But sometimes they're donation-only concerts. And so, you know, I read a lot about, you know, hosts or musicians being nervous about that or tips on how to handle that so that it comes at the right time. And then other shows are very strict. You know, it's going to be $20 and we'll meet in the kitchen and you'll pay me before you get your food. And it's very, you know... And in your case, I don't think there was any. It was a donation for the Lullaby Project, right, Tim?
Right, the show that you were at, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, for the shows that we host, they vary quite a bit too with that. There's a few when we've had out of town musicians that have had budgets that they've kind of needed to reach a certain target. We've been
a guarantee,
you know, a little more.
Yeah, a little
upfront
bit
about,
more,
you know,
like
how
we
it
really,
works.
Yeah.
And other times, yeah. I always want the shows at my house to be pay as you can. Please come, even if you can't afford to pay. For everybody that can only throw in $5, there's somebody that puts in $40. So at the end of the day, it works out, and it's never really been a problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say goodbye to Laura. Laura, thank you. I've got to take another call, but thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having this topic as a focus.
Great.
Greatly appreciated.
Great. Thank you. I'd like to welcome Anna Lynch. Hi, Anna, calling from Portland. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Well,
hi, Anna.
Yo,
that was Tim.
Hi.
So thanks for calling in. And you were one of the artists I was trying to reach to sort of say, hey, what's in it for you? What's it like to have the audience, you know, inches away from your face? Do you find that exhilarating, or do you, you know, what's that like? So talk to us, Anna. As someone who's done house concerts.
I find that house concerts are the perfect audience as both a songwriter and a performer. It's just a wonderful way, number one, to meet people, and it's a great community. I don't think there's nothing bad about house concerts to me. They're my favorite place to play. And if I'm writing new material, that's kind of my focus, is that kind of audience.
Do you try it out on the audience a little bit and see?
Yeah.
See if you feel something from them, that they connect with the song?
Absolutely, yeah. And also, it's very much a different set than, say, a bar set where we would play to a dancing crowd where people are, like, you know, talking at the same time and then want to dance.
Mm-hmm.
But house concerts are a different repertoire completely. I can play songs that have more of a story to them and that require a little bit of more energy from the listener.
Yeah.
Than usual.
I did speak with Emily Kern, who talked a little bit about lyrics are really important to her, and mm-hmm. sometimes in a larger venue you can't really focus on the lyrics as much, you know, the projection is different and all that. And so I guess in the folk venue, it might offer some real opportunity, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say my first love is songwriting. I love performing, but I'm in it for the songwriting, really. And house concerts, I don't think I would have.
What was that?
I don't think I would have kept a love for songwriting so long as I, you know, because house concerts give me an outlet for that. People will listen.
You know, I've got a question. Do you play house concerts outside in the Portland area, but you play them in Anchorage as well? Is there much difference in those two venues or those two geographic regions? Or are they about the same?
I would say Alaska and Anchorage as a whole have a community.
They have a community? You know, Anna, I think we're losing you, but...
Oh, sorry. I have terrible reception inside my house right here. Is that better?
Well, you're fading in and out, and we're missing some of your words. So I know when we spoke, you said, hey, I've got a new EP. I want to mention it. So go ahead.
Yes. Yes, I do. It's called The Wandering Kind. It is a 6-track little album I recorded down here in Portland, and it's very much some of those house concert-y songs. They're a little bit more low-key and kind of the stuff I love writing.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's okay. Available on my website.
Well, that's awesome. So thank you so much. I'm going to say goodbye for now. We're going to take a break in a minute, but I'm going to turn to our musicians who have promised to give us a little music before we go to a break. And I'm going to welcome, we're going to hear from Ingvild and Lena. And what are you going to play?
We're going to play one of my tunes. Later in the program, we'll play some of Lena's music. This is, it's called 1741, and it's, we'll see if we get to the end before the break, but you're welcome to just, you know, zoom out from us as we play.
If we need to, okay.
Yeah. Here we go.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. I feel like we had our own little house concert right here.
Awesome.
And people listening in their car, that's, I always hear people say, oh, I heard you while I was in my car.
The
well,
car
we had a car concert. And a few folks sitting in their house listening, they had their own little house concert. So that was Norwegian. This is your composition?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it have a name?
It has a name. 1741. It's the distance in kilometers between London, UK, and Oslo, where I was born, London, where I was living when I wrote it.
Oh. Well, thank you. That was fabulous. So, if you haven't guessed, we're talking house concerts. We just had a little taste of what you might experience if you were in someone's living room. And we're going to take a little bit of a break right now, just a minute. So stay with us. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska, where we're doing house concerts. And we just had a little mini virtual house concert here with Ingvild Vattengutu and Lena Lekina. And I'm also here with Tim Nixon, who has done 33 house concerts, so he has a little bit of experience. And, you know, we're getting calls, and I want to go and welcome people to tell us a little bit about either being a performer or being a host. And I'd like to welcome Shauna Toma. Hi, Shauna.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
I am great. Have you been able to listen to anything, or are you just calling in from work, or what's going on?
Well, both. Don't tell my boss. I'm calling in from work, but I have been listening, too. It's been great to hear everybody's perspective on these fabulous house concerts.
Yeah. Now, tell me, for you, how many have you done, and what have you learned?
We've done probably half a dozen or so over the last year and a half or two, and it's been really a big surprise. We wanted to get into having music in our house, and I wasn't sure how to do it, really. And we heard great things about Tom Baggage's house concerts, highly revered, super fun, and they're always sort of, I'll just use the term, sold out, because he gets great singer-songwriters up from Portland and Seattle and Austin. Wonderful places, and I thought, well, how do we get to that in our house? So my husband and I really worked to tune in, and I was trying to figure out how do we find out about house concerts and hosting. So I signed up with the Anchorage Music Co-op, just on the email, and started getting notices from them, and I still wasn't really sure. And we got an email, a notice, just like everybody else, hey, we're looking for a house concert host. So we just volunteered, and it actually turned into this great, you know, several-year house concert odyssey that's been a really wonderful gift to us, actually.
You know, Shauna, I think you told me you have a Spinard special house,
which is sort of what I call it.
Yeah, sort of half cabin, half the newer part or something. And it made me think of, I looked at Marianne Call's website where she tries to help people see that they could have a house concert. And I'm just going to say some of the things, the most common things she hears are, I'd love to do this, but my house is too small, or I don't know if I want to have strangers in my house, or it's going to take so much time, or my place is a mess. So did you confront any of those things yourself?
Well, I had a big part of our house, a little bigger spot. Our house is not big. It is a Spinard special, probably. And I thought that our house was, there was one spot that musicians might like, but they liked the cozier spot. And it turns out that the acoustics are better, and that's what matters the most. Can people hear? And those are small venues, so people can hear. It's your little house. So if it's big or small, it doesn't matter. It's how does the music sound? How do people feel? Is there a chair? Is there somewhere they can feel comfortable? And that's what matters the most. So if you can feel comfortable in your house, having dinner or having a few guests over, you can host a house concert. And mm-hmm. the musicians actually love that intimacy. I think Ingvild talked about that a minute ago. What they love is seeing people's faces and seeing them 2 feet away instead of in a auditorium or at a bar where they can't really see. Mm-hmm. What matters the most to people is how they react to the music and that they get to enjoy it in a close, personal way.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you and I chatted earlier, and I'm looking at Tim across the table here. One of the things you talked about was community and connecting with your community. You know, one of the things I thought of was, well, what about the neighbors? Do you have to make sure you invite them because they're going to be hearing this and they're wondering what the heck is going on over there? Or, you know, how do you sort of deal with it? And your response was like, yeah, I invite the neighbors. It's a way to get to know the neighbors. It's a way to know your whole community. And you had a real sort of sense of community about it. And Tim said the same things to me upstairs before we came down. It was about connecting with people and knowing your neighbors. So, you know, I guess I just gave what you told me, but is there anything you want to add to that?
Well, yeah, one of my favorite things that happened when we got into house concerts was I answered an email for the Anchorage Music Co-op, and this woman said, well, I'll come over and take a look at your house and we can meet. And it was Laura Odin, who's fantastic.
I've been to house concert, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and we figured out I hadn't met her before. But we met at my door and realized she lived a block away. And I thought, holy moly, we've got this great neighbor and these great singer-songwriters all over our own neighborhood. So it was just a matter that we tuned in a little bit. And Laura came, actually Ingvild came and played that night too when we did host her. And the people who showed up were people we invited. And at the Spinard Jazz Festival concert we hosted, people came who were also our neighbors, and we didn't know that we were all neighbors. And we just had a great time realizing that it was us. It was just us, our neighborhood, our own neighbors that liked this and wanted to be part of it. And that's been a real treat to be able to see neighbors. In fact, Jason, he hosted a concert last week. And we all said, hey, you live here too. You live over here. And we're just neighbors talking in the sun, having a great time. So we talk about building neighborhoods all the time and how it's important for safety and security and also just for, you know, community building and how important it is. Well, this is the most organic and best way to do it. You don't even have to try. It just happens.
And you have fun doing it.
By far the most fun way to do it.
And maybe a glass of beer.
I'm writing down every word you say, Shauna. This is like the perfect sort of blurb for
advice.
And the next funding application.
Yeah. Oh, the survival strategies.
That too.
Well, Shauna,
it's wonderful to hear them.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for calling. I'm going to go ahead and go to another caller. So I try to get everybody on, but thank you so much for calling in and sharing what it was like to be a host.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Okay, bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's see. I'd like to welcome Michael Howard on Hometown Alaska. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Catherine. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine, and I see in my notes here that you're in Texas.
I'm in Kerrville, Texas here at the festival. It's one of the most happening, awesome spots where all the songwriters from all over the place come and gather down here.
Wow.
Have a blast. Yeah.
Well, are you performing or going to conferences and workshops, or what are you doing?
All kinds of stuff, yeah. We're playing gigs. I just got out of a songwriter critique circle, and it was great. So I'm down here, and there's a bunch of our musician networks are down here, and then I just got to give a shout-out to, you mentioned, Tom Begich's house concerts. I hope it's okay that we're advertising those on air, but I'm in the shower. I'm in the showers down here, and they just renovated the showers, and then they've got all these little handmade tiles that people made to include, you know, like kind of in the mosaic. And there's one on, I just found it, and it says Tom Begich, First Kerrville, 2008.
Oh wow!
So what's been going on? You've had, you know, even before me, there's been some locals like Tom Begich and Stephen Bacon that have been coming down here for years, and there's this really cool kind of pipeline that's opened up.
Interesting.
In Tom Begich's home. And so you have this, like, really, really world-class and very accomplished musicians here that, you know, folks like Tom make connections with. And then before you know it, they're showing up at a house concert in Alaska. So
yeah.
And pretty cool.
Have you ever worked it the other way, where you met somebody here in Alaska and ended up doing a house concert where they are from? Has it ever worked another way for you?
Certainly, yeah. Yeah, we're all making connections, and especially it seems with the songwriter troubadour types, we're all traveling so much. So it's really kind of interesting, the the vast networks across the country of performers and the house concert hosts. The house concert hosts play such an interesting, crucial role in, really the artists and the songwriters being able to make a living and being able to have a venue where they fit in. And, you may have already talked about a lot of that, but it's great. So we got to give a shout out to people like Kim Nixon and Tom Begich and others and Shauna. So.
Yeah, people who open up their homes. I want to ask you, since you're a performer, and I know that you are, you write, your words are very important to you, and I've heard from musicians their words sometimes are very important to them, and that's one of the reasons they like this venue, because it's almost like they're close enough, everybody can hear the words. But I also have heard that it can be intimidating for an artist, and I just wonder how it goes for you. I mean, is it always you're ready to be this, close, or do you sometimes, you have to kind of get up for it? Because it's very up close and personal. So how is it for you?
Oh, it's terrifying. And it's funny because we end up, we play in so many different types of venues, and we're always trying to find where we fit. And so generally it's like, we can play smaller bars, even that's not ideal, but, wine bars or cafes, we're always trying to, like, as songwriters, we really need to find a place where we can connect with the audience, because that's how our art form works. We're not just putting on a big loud rock show. We're really doing the storytelling, the face-to-face, the words. And then we find ourselves in front of an audience that's just sitting there, like 30, 40 people, just completely silent, staring at you, waiting for
watching your every breath, right?
It's terrible, yeah, but it's also great.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We just came out of a prayer meeting, and now we...
I know one promoter told me that sometimes he's known of artists who ask to be paid a little more because of the responsibility to socialize. And I never thought of that before. But how do you manage it? And I guess that's the sort of, it's like family, the good and the bad of family. I mean, you get the best and then you also have family, and so here your audience, you have the best where they might really react to your music and respond to you, but they also are right there. And so if you flub something, they're right there. So Elena, did you want to say something?
I just saying that first of all, thank you so much for inviting us and helping us musicians to, you helping us. Radio is very important for us, for musicians. To be heard, In one hand, it's a very relaxing atmosphere to play in a house concert. But another hand is people coming to listen. That's what's important.
Yes.
So, and in the bars and everywhere, people could talk, dance and everything. But here is
fall in love.
Exactly, yes. So it's certain level of responsibility.
Yeah, all eyes on you.
It's a thrill, it's a thrill. I mean, I'm enjoying it. And it was... how many? The few I did here in Alaska, and it's just amazing experience. So,
right. I saw you at a house concert the other day, and you started dancing right in the middle of your performance.
Oh my God! Yeah, I couldn't play. I just want to dance, and I start dancing, and I will do it again.
I will let you know if she starts dancing in the studio here. But anyway, Michael, back to you. Anything else you want to tell us before we say goodbye and good luck and have fun? And when's your next house concert in Anchorage? Oh, Ingvall is...
Yeah, no, let him say that.
Okay. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, since you got Tim in there, I actually needed to talk to Tim about
this. We're going to do some arranging,
guys. When can it happen?
Oh, Michael, it's hard for me to say no anyway. It's impossible to say no to you on the air.
I'll follow up with Tim. I just want to reiterate, in a really evolving, rapidly evolving, DIY music industry where really everything is up to the artist to make a living, specifically from the songwriter perspective. I mean, house concerts are really, that is literally how, just on house concerts alone, I have a lot of peers that actually make their living doing that, and they support families, and they have a career, and they're able to do their art, because of that venue. So I just wanted to reiterate.
Yeah, well, good. When are we going to see you again up in Alaska?
I'll be back up in just a couple of weeks, and I've got a few shows all around, and going to be ready for the Alaska summer.
So we'll have to take Shauna's advice and start talking to people and finding out where is the house concert for Michael.
Hey, Michael, don't go. I have a message for you, a 24-second message. When okay. I'm gone, I may not go to heaven, because I don't know if they let Michael in. Well, if they don't, then let me go to Texas. Texas is the closest I've been.
Yeah. A serenade all the way from Anchorage. All right, well, behave yourself so you can come home. Okay.
Thanks, Kathleen. We'll see you soon.
All right, take care.
Bye,
all right.
Everybody.
Bye-bye. Let me think. There's things I wanted to make sure we covered. So I'm just thinking about the host kind of thing. What haven't we talked about?
So we talked a little bit earlier about how to get started doing this kind of thing. And actually, Michael Howard was sort of responsible for getting the ball rolling with doing house concerts at my house. I had done a couple. One was a Kickstarter, and then we invited the band back just because it was a lot of fun, and there was a birthday party. But after that, I was on to that it was just a lot of fun, and I was pretty good friends with Michael at that point and mentioned to him that he was bringing a lot of folks to Alaska at that point, and if there was anyone that he was bringing up that just needed another show or two to make the economics of it work, give me a call and let's talk about
and
it.
That's and, been and, some of your house concerts.
And the next day in my email box, there's a link to a YouTube video about how do you like these guys?
Hey, Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, and then a month later, they were in my living room. And so there's been a lot of that. And the other Michael Howard story is that by about 2 years after that, it had evolved to the point that Michael Howard needed a place to do a CD release party. and he wasn't liking the feedback that he was getting from some of the other venues at the point. So he was like, how about your living room? And I said, why not?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's good. I've been at your house and I noticed the food was over by the kitchen. The music is happening in the living room. Some people drift back and forth. I mean, that's another thing you can do mm-hmm. at a house concert. If you want to go out and get some fresh air, you can. But then the people in the living room there were just glued in.
For sure. Yeah, and I think there's, I've been to a lot of other house concerts up here and in a few other places around the States, and I think there's 1,000 different ways to host it, but the one thing that's always going to be in common, like you mentioned, is that people are there to listen to the music first and foremost.
Right.
So I think for the artist, it's great that, at least the people that are in the room are riveted and are engaged and want to hear the stories
right.
and want to ask questions.
Right.
And yeah, to that end, we've name dropped some other folks. There's some other shows that are very structured and sit down, and there's ticketing, and you come, and mm-hmm. if you don't come, you're in a lot of trouble.
People even dress up. I saw in some of the pictures that they really look quite nice.
Right,
when they come.
Right.
And they're not in their
quite nice.
Yes, quite nice. Not in their normal attire. I'm not sure if we covered the food, because I have been where to get in. I needed to bring finger food, or I needed to bring a potluck dish. That's sort of part of getting in. And so that food is always part of it. But sometimes, like in Tim's case, your friends, your gourmet friends decide that they're going to roll it out. And, so you just have to pay attention. The rules will be different for different house concerts. And in Ingvall, are you thinking?
I'm thinking, because I'm doing 10 house concerts. There's actually 11. We're doing one tonight.
Right.
That I think I'm going to drag you along to.
Oh, yes. No, I've already RSVP'd.
Oh, you've already RSVP'd the other two then. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I promised people in the promo that if they didn't know how to get invited, we'd tell them how to get invited.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to a particular...
I will say that we're close to capacity. We actually have 110 people signed up for today's yard party. It blew out the log cabin in Spinard, so it's just spilling out into the lawn.
Good thing we've got good weather today.
Yes, and then there is another house concert tomorrow inside a church, because they built... And that's a public event, so I can just tell that right away. It's the Church of Love on Spinard, uh-huh. right above Taproot, or not above, but like higher up on the road, further up there, uh-huh. The block above there. And we're doing a house concert inside the church, because the Sheila Wine designed a model of Cook Inlet housing apartments that's standing full size inside the church nave. So there's actually a house inside the church. So there's a house and church concert at the same, two for the price of one, which is $10.
Wow.
And they can come there tomorrow from 7 o'clock, and we're doing the same setup as we do, but it's going to be with Lenny Pickett and Super Saturated Sugar String members and Tanana mm-hmm. Rafters members and a bunch of musicians. And Leanne, I hope you will come.
Yes, I will.
We're all going to play a Tim. So that's the little shameless plug. But in general, here is how we do it. Basically, because we always serve sponsored adult beverage, and we are saving thousands $100,000 in permitting. In fact, we can't technically get the amount of permits that we need in a year. So you just go to our website, spinajazzfest.org, and then go to the contact page and just say, hi, I am so-and-so, and I want to be invited to house concerts. If there's a specific house concert you want to be invited to, then you list that. But otherwise, we have a kind of a global column in our spreadsheet for people who are just wildly enthusiastic
anytime
about,
tell me.
Just sign me up kind of thing. And then we'll just send the host or our volunteer who's responsible for that will send you an invite. And I would say it's not too late to try today, but...
I actually had a call this morning at my home from someone who said, hey, you mentioned on the promo that there's one tonight. How do I get invited?
Yeah, no, I mean, send me a contact right now and I'll see if I can get on the website, but it's getting super late.
It's spinajazzfest.org.
Just go on the website and fill in the contact page. Yeah. Otherwise,
I just told her to do what anybody would do, which is send an email and see if she can,
absolutely.
You know, if it might be too late. I guess that's one lesson is act quickly because there are limited seats.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. 30, 25, 30 typically, and then some have a bigger one. So.
All right. Well, we have a promise of one more tune, and our fabulous engineer, Dave Waldron, says, now's the time to play the song. So what is it? Let's tell our audience
It's called Alaskan Girls, and it was written by me. And it's, of course, about our outdoor girls who's doing hiking, biking.
Extra tough.
Everything you can do in Alaska.
Exactly. It's all about Alaska.
Okay. Well, great.
Okay.
That's great. I had images all through my head, bicycle riding, skiing, everything.
Hiking to Flat Top.
Hiking to Flat Top. So, wow. Well, we squeezed it in, and I have time to go ahead and say thank you to our guest today. Ingvil, thank you. Lena, thank you. Tim, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And we had a couple people call in. I really appreciate them, Michael and Shauna. Just terrific, Anna. And also people just, like Mallory, that was an interesting opening volley there to discuss the economics. So anyway, I will be back as your Hometown Alaska host next week when we'll be talking with Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz. So if you've got time to get your questions together for the mayor, find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Dave Waldron is our audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy. Thank you.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.